for the morning to your pizza. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. It's been like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
I'm serious.
Praise God. Praise God. Good morning, Jesus believers all over this world. Father God, we set our faith in agreement with your faith, God. We set our faith in agreement with your faith. And we pray this morning, not our will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit. Good morning. Good morning. I want to play this little song for you, and I want to think about how you would answer this question. Just think about it as you listen to this song. This is the question I want to put to you this morning. Can God count on you? I want you to think about it. And then I want you to get a piece of paper and I want you to write something down. This is the thought. Can God count on me? Can God count on me? You know, if somebody would have asked me that question 30 days ago, I would have said, yes, God can count on me. Yes, whatever God wants me to do, I'll do it. But guess what? I didn't because of my own reasoning ability. Because I used to think, I don't think that way after making this 4,000-mile journey. I used to think that, well, you know, when God wants me to do something, I used to, like, jump on it, get it done immediately. But when God told me to go put my feet on the ground in Texas, I didn't do it. I talked about it, and I said I was going to do it. But I allowed the devil to send me so many distractions in the form, you know, that scripture that said, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. In the form, he sent these distractions in the form of helping other people. But they were distractions. My question to you this morning, I want you to get a piece of paper and a pen. And I want to present something to you. Why are we still on this task? Okay, get the paper and pen. With the thought in mind, can God count on you? Well, you see, I know God knew that I was going to accomplish what he asked me to do. But not in the way, and maybe ultimately, even in the way he planned, but I was going to learn a valuable lesson in the process. So I want you to get a pencil and a piece of paper. And with the thought in mind, can God count on me? Can God count on me? You see, honestly, because you know, and those of you that I know personally, I know you have a God objective. And I know you love God. So that's not even the question. That's not part of the, I mean, we're going to just take for granted. You love God and he's in your heart, he's in your soul, he's in your spirit, and he's in your physical body. If you don't know him and he's not there, then I need to introduce you to him so that you can understand his ways and his works, and it's easy to identify the ways and the works of the devil when you know God's ways and his works. And when he lives in you. So, you got the paper and pencil, right? Okay. Now, I want you to answer this question. Keeping in mind, can God count on you? And when I ask you the question, I'm going to give you a little bitty time. I'm going to give you a little bit of time to think about it. What God-given goal, G-O-A-L, God-given. You see, God gives us goals, and God gives us assignments. He gives us instructions. And many times we think it's us, but it's really God speaking to you, and it's really God saying something in your heart for you to do for him. And because we become so self-serving, we think it's us. Some of us really think we're doing God a favor by serving him. That's really dumb. So, what goal do you have in your heart that you know is God-given? I want you to write that down on that paper. God-given goal. What goal has God given to you to accomplish? And in your heart of hearts, you know God gave it to you. So I want you to write that down this morning. And then if you can try to remember, write down beside it the year, the month, or the time he gave it to you. If you can't remember, ask the Holy Spirit to bring it back to your remembrance. What God-given goal has been given to you, and you know in your heart God gave it to you. In your heart, you know that. I want you to write that down. And if you can remember approximately when he gave it to you, you got it? You still think about it? You done it yet? It's very important for your benefit, not mine, that you do this little exercise this morning. You see, in order to know God, you got to know you too. Now, you got the goal, you got approximately when he gave it to you. All I want you to write is yes or no underneath it. No, on top of it. On top of that goal and that year or that month or whatever. Have you accomplished that goal? Yes or no on top of it. Big letters. Yes or no. Have you accomplished that God-given goal that God gave you? Yes or no? Now, how many of you have no on top of that? How many of you have no? I want to talk to you. If you have no, I want to talk to you. Because the other folks lying. talk to you this morning because the other folks lying. Oh. Now, all of you that said yes, you know you lying. And you need to get rid of that demon. You are under an illusion. If you put yes. You see, God knew your heart even when he told me to ask you this. God already knew. But what he wanted to know, how well do you know you? How well do you know yourself? And are you lying to yourself? And do you have a spirit of delusion that is lying to you? Look at that paper. Look at that paper. Now, this is the question. Why is the God-given goal that God gave to you not accomplished, not fulfilled? And I'm going to tell you why. The same thing that happened to me. The devil sent you a distraction. He sent you a distraction because he never wants it fulfilled. He never wants it fulfilled. You are his enemy. And as long as he can distract you from fulfilling the will of God, you will never reach the potential that is God's original intent for your life. You see, you might be an employee, and God's plan was for you to be an employer. You might be a helper, when God's plan was for you to be a leader. If you can come to the knowledge of the truth, that's why the Bible talks about the truth. The truth is, whatever you have on that paper has to be fulfilled in your life, because God is not a liar. God is not a deceiver. But God loves you so much that he patiently waits for the day when you will come into the knowledge of the truth through Jesus about who you are and who he is and who you are in him, and understand that everything God intends comes to completion. And underneath the next line, I want you to write, I'm not complete yet. I'm not complete yet. I want you to write, I'm not complete yet. I want you to bow your head wherever you are right now. And I want you to repent. And I want you to tell God, I'm sorry. You cannot go to the next wherever you got to go in him without doing this. You see that goal? It will be fulfilled, but not before you accept the fact and the truth that you didn't do it. You haven't done it. And you know what the greater truth is? You can't. He has to do it through you. I want you to repent for being self-serving. Serving yourself and not realizing that in and of yourself, you will never complete what God has determined for you to do, because what God has determined for you to do is supernatural. It can't be done by the natural man or woman. It can't be done by the carnal man or woman. It can't be done by the soulish realm man or woman. It has to be done by the Spirit of God through you. Are you hearing me this morning? It has to be completed by the Spirit of God through you. And I want you right now, after you do, after you repent, we'll go to the next level. I'm going to play you this song for you to do that. And those of you that think you're too big, you're too high and mighty, you're too great, you need to find you another ministry, because this one ain't high enough and ain't great enough for you. This ministry, we solely dependent upon Jesus. Everything in our life that is to be accomplished will be accomplished through and by Jesus working in and through us, because we're called to be believers. Believers. And it's as simple as that. You see, that goal you got there is a promise from God to you through Jesus.
He promised me he will
deliver.
He promised me he will
deliver.
And I believe he will
He's my
protector.
You see, God is so much more faithful. He's much more faithful to us than we are to him. I sent a couple of you a clip, and I sent it to you for a reason of my conversation with Pastor Paul Asa Allen. And I wondered why I was stuck right there on that little clip. And so it was when I first got there. It was probably rude of me, but I wanted to know one thing from him, just one thing. If that was all he agreed to answer for me, that would have been fine. But years ago, when I saw the only time in my life, I was a little girl, my mother took me to a tent meeting, and it was A.A. Allen. Like, a lot of people didn't know that A.A. Allen had red hair. Yep. And I was looking at this red-haired white man with red hair. And that just got me. But as I was looking at him, a cross appeared in the middle of his forehead. And I asked my mother, did she see it? And she said, you know, kind of like, you know how y'all parents do. Just, you know, just wait till we get out of here. I forgot about it. So I asked him, I said, did your father have a cross in the middle of his forehead? He looked at me kind of strange, but I was asking him while I was rolling my camera on my smartphone. And I'm going to try, in answering that one question for me, God used him to answer another question so that I would not be tormented or I would not be bothered by this ever again in life. You see, a lot of people kind of left when that guy put that mineral oil in the oil vial where the oil was coming out the Bible. A lot of people left me and left this ministry. I don't know who they think they were or whatever, but I don't know why people get a God complex and don't even really know God. Anyway, they left. So I just let them leave because I know that God sends somebody here, sends somebody there. I was one of those kind of people. I went all over searching for God and trying to understand deliverance. But now I probably got one of the biggest libraries on deliverance, and I probably have a depth of understanding that's phenomenal because I wanted answers. So I'm going to try to play this clip. Let me know if you can hear it. He's a soft-spoken man. But his conversation to me caused some demons to lift up off of me that were trying to torment me about that oil coming out the Bible. You see, for whatever reason, God raised me up to believe in his word and to believe that everything in his word is the truth. Everything. That's what I believe. The Bible says, with God, all things are possible. They are. I believe it. Why do you believe it? Because I've seen him do it. That's why I believe it. And if I haven't seen him do it, his word says he can do it, so I believe it. But part of the reason I believe it is that in my walk with God, I've been blessed to be in the presence and to sit at the feet and learn from some of God's truly anointed men and women. Was I friends with them? No. I went in their presence as a disciple of Jesus. And when whatever you go looking for, that's what you get. But I'm gonna try to play this clip. I don't know. My phone ain't never been loud. I don't know why. If I can, I want you to hear it. And I want you to listen, and I want you to see if you hear what he did, what God did for me. It's just starting to come to me now as I'm processing it. So I can't, don't think I can sit down and give you a dissertation of what happened, because it ain't like that. It was all miraculous. It was all supernatural. And it was all intended by God for me to listen and learn OJT. That's the way God works with me. He works with everybody different. Because I know I'm on a mission, and I know I'm going to get whatever God sends me to get, but I know it's not going to be my way. You know what I mean? So I want you to, and if you text me your phone number, I'll send you the little clip. And don't forget, he's going to be on Shannon's show February 11th, and so am I. He'll be on early 6 to 9, and I'll be on that, and Philip Morris will be on at 9, if you don't know who he is. Okay, let me see. See, now my phone don't want to do right. Because wow. Now my phone don't want to do right. But I was able to get it out last night. Oh, listen.
Some people would say workbench is actually a table. You dropped a pen.
Oh, that flew out of there. So we made it.
Let me show you.
Okay.
This right here. The glue had come loose.
Uh-huh.
And so I bought these when I first started doing this Big Four yesterday. And I glued it and then clamped this down, pulled it tight. I put this one on so it would not fold all the way down, because if it did, it would knock this off. And then this is what I'm writing on the bottom of the chairs to have a permanent record on there of where the chairs came from, whose they were originally, and then you'll get a certificate that's printed out on the computer with a picture to add in.
Wonderful.
But, this is the permanent record. This is one of the very last chairs from the Allen Tent Revival days. Got that on there, and I'm signing each one.
Praise God.
Last night I was out here till midnight, and it was cold. And I bought some gloves because I wanted to pull some weeds. So I was working with gloves on. Try to sign your name with a pair of leather gloves that are brand new and never been used in cold.
Yeah. You know, Brother Allen, the first thing I asked you when I met you in the yard a few minutes ago was about the cross that I saw with my own two eyes, but I mentioned that to some people, and they said, well, I've never seen it on a picture, but remember I asked you, did your father have a cross in the middle of his forehead? Can you just talk about that for 1 minute or 2 minutes?
That was one of the things that God chose to do with Daddy that is very unique. I have never known anybody else that ever had that kind of a demonstration on their body. Daddy had oil on his hands a lot, and other people had that. I've seen people that had so much oil on their hands and on their feet that when they walked on the rubber on the platform, it left oil footprints on there. So much on their hands that it would just literally drip off, and sometimes they'd put a bowl there and let it drip in the bowl, and then when they would pray for prayer calls, they would take that and sprinkle it over the prayer cloths. I've seen people that had blood come in the palm of their hands, and that happened to Daddy a few times, but I don't have that in the picture. And I've seen it on other people's hands. And God, in his infinite wisdom, has performed signs and wonders literally starting 9 months before Jesus was born. And throughout his lifetime, he performed miracles. After his first normal life was over, he continued to do it. God wants us to live with the reality that to him there's no limit to what reality is.
Oh, yes.
There's just no stopping to it. And if you ever think you've finally seen anything and everything and there's no surprises left, get ready because you're about to get shocked.
Praise God.
I'm going to play it over here by the blog talk now. Listen carefully.
Right before I take them off the, some people would say workbench. It's actually a table. You dropped the pen.
Oh, that flew out of there. So we made it.
Let me show you.
Okay.
This right here, the glue had come loose.
Uh-huh.
And so I bought these when I first started doing this day before yesterday. And I glued it and then clamped this down, hold it tight. I put this one on so it would not fold all the way down, because if it did, it would knock this off. And then this is what I'm writing on the bottom of the chairs to have a permanent record on there of where the chairs came from,
uh-huh.
whose they were originally,
uh-huh.
and then you'll get a certificate that's printed out on the computer with the picture daddy and so forth.
Wonderful.
But this is the permanent record that this is one of the very last chairs uh-huh. from the AL and Tent Revival days. Got that on there, and then I'm signing each one.
Praise God.
Last night I was out here till midnight and it was cold, and I bought some gloves because I wanted to pull some weeds. And so I was working with gloves on. Try to sign your name with a pair of leather gloves that are brand new and never been used in cold.
Yeah. You know, Brother Allen, the first thing I asked you when I met you in the yard a few minutes ago was about the cross that I saw with my own two eyes, But I mentioned that to some people, and they don't, you know, they said, well, I've never seen it on a picture. But remember, I asked you, did your father have a cross in the middle of his forehead? Can you just talk about that for 1 minute or 2 minutes?
That was one of the things that God chose to do with Daddy that is very unique. I have never known anybody else that ever had that kind of a demonstration on their body. Daddy had oil on his hands a lot, and other people had that. I've seen people that had so much oil on their hands and on their feet that when they walked on the rubber on the platform, it left oil footprints on there. So much on their hands that it would just literally drip off, and sometimes they'd put a bowl there and let it drip in the bowl, and then when they would pray for prayer cloths, they would take that and sprinkle it over the prayer cloths. I've seen people that had blood come in the palm of their hands, and that happened to Daddy a few times, but I don't have that in the picture. And I've seen it on other people's hands. And God, in his infinite wisdom, has performed signs and wonders literally starting 9 months before Jesus was born. And throughout his lifetime, he performed miracles. After his first normal life was over, he continued to do it. God wants us to live with the reality that to him there's no limit to what reality is.
Oh, yes.
There's just no stopping to it. And if you ever think you finally seen anything and everything and there's no surprises left, get ready because you're about to get shocked.
Praise God.
That's a little clip. I got let y'all film some more stuff, but it's going to take me a time because I'm still processing everything that happened. But what happened? Did you get it? God, through Brother Asa Allen, let me know that there was something that took place that he dried the oil up. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen another way or some kind of way or again. But we supposed to be believers are so quick to want to judge. But I'm going to tell you something. When they tried to make Jesus judge, you know, make him a king, Jesus said, I did not come to judge. I came to seek and to save them that were lost. He said, you know, God didn't send me here to judge. And so many of us have gotten caught up, distracted. And the devil does things deliberately to distract you off of and from God's plans and God's purpose for your life. Thank you, Jessica. That's John chapter 12, verse 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Are you hearing me? Look back at that paper with your goals. That goal Is it Christ-centered or is it self-centered? Look at that goal. Look at, it's your goal. You wrote it in front of you. If it's Christ-centered, then you're in disobedience to God, and you need to straighten that out. If it's self-centered, it ain't gonna never come to pass. But you see, God is so good and kind and merciful, he's not gonna let you flop around like a fish out of water. You're going to fulfill his purpose. If that is, if that is the inclination of your heart. See, all of this is a heart issue. My heart is to know God more and more and better and better. Why is that? So I can serve him better. So I could be a better servant to his people and not get slaughtered in the and not get slaughtered in the process by those people that are living under those spirits of lies because they've been distracted. Now I'm gonna deal with that spirit of distraction. Get you some paper towels. Some of us have been distracted from birth through afflictions. Through lies. Through distractions. Pain is a distraction. Misery is a distraction. Poverty is a distraction. Mental torment is a big distraction. We're going on to perfection in Christ. Not as the world knows it, in Christ. Now, I want you, you already repented, right? You already told God you're sorry. I'm going to post a picture of me under a Texas sign with my feet, because I put my feet on the ground in Texas, and all of that stuff, everything. You see, as long as I had not gone and put my feet on the ground in Texas, I had a door open for the devil to torment me. I had a door open for the devil to block me. But guess what? I am free. See, I know what it feels like to be free. God moves through obedience. The devil moves through disobedience. You need to confess to yourself that whatever it is you got on that paper, you cannot do it without God. It will not happen. It has to happen by God, through God, of God, for God, and with God. What's God's name? Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this. And I want you to tell God, I'm sorry. This is serious. This is real serious. How do you think you become redeemed? Redeemed from what? Redeemed from sin? Redeemed from the works of the devil? God called you to preach. And I know some of you. I know what it's like. Because when God called me, I mean, I wasn't even thinking about God. I wasn't even concerned. I thought I was doing my Baptist thing, and that was all I needed to do. And in my Baptist thing, during my time, I can remember it was in, it happened. They asked me to speak in a Baptist church. My own mother said, ain't no woman supposed to be. This is my mother. Ain't no woman supposed to be no preacher. No. Mm-mm. This is my mother. I said, well, that might be, but somebody need to take that up with God. Oh, I know it was in San Diego, California. That's where it was. That's where we were. And when I went to the Baptist church, and they thought my name was Eric, not Erica. They thought I was a man. Well, they had told everybody I was coming. Brothers and sisters, the preacher told me, he said, you can't get in my pulpit. They say, we sorry, we don't want to embarrass you, but the pastor said you can't get in the pulpit. The best he could do for you is let you have that speaker's little pulpit on the floor with the people. I said, okay, I'll take that. The pastor had such hatred and resentment for me. He didn't even know me. I got up, got the little pulpit thing. They put it, and they didn't even put it in the middle of the floor. They put it to the side. The Holy Spirit said, don't worry about it. I said, what do I have my Bible out? I was going to open the Bible. He said, open your Bible. And I just want you to say one thing. I said, okay. He said, just say the name of Jesus. I stood in front of those people, all the men shooting daggers at me. The women scared to death. And I said, Jesus! And the whole church fell out. The pastor was on the floor up there on the pulpit. One shoe up, one shoe down. The power of God knocked everybody off their seat in the whole church. The doggone, fire alarm went off. And the first thing they thought, believe it or not, she's a witch. And I'm thinking, what do I say now, Lord? He said, say Jesus again. Pastor started rolling on the pulpit, rolled down the steps, rolled down the aisle. And I said, oh, this is what holy rollers look like. And the whole church went up in revival. The preacher got up, dusted his clothes off, took my hand and escorted me up to the pulpit. Apologized to me, apologized to his congregation, and gave me 3 women to train and ordain them as ministers. He ordained them. Why am I telling you this? Look at your paper. You one of them. I already been through that. That ain't nothing for you to go through. Look at that paper you got. And now, are you ready to tell the Lord yes? Are you ready to step up and let him work through you with signs and miracles and wonders? You wonder why I could not preach and teach on the gift. I know the order to do it, but there was a fresh awakening that God wanted to take place in me. There was a fresh anointing that God wants me to impart with power. There's a freshness of God taking place on this earth. And it's stirring up signs and miracles and wonders because of the redeemed. Because of the redeemed having a recognition that they have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Yay, God!
All I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won. And I am redeemed. Set me free. So I'll shake out these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. Thank God, redeemed.
You never leave. You don't forget me. You're listening, even when I don't make a sound. It's good to be loved by you. It's good to be loved by you. Though my brokenness seems some days, your mercy's still brand new. It's good to be loved by you. So good to be loved by you. It don't run out. It's never ending. It goes as far as the east is from the west. Oh, 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 no, I never found the words to explain it. Oh, 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 cause there's nothing in the world so amazing. It's good to be loved by you. It's good to be loved by you. Though my brokenness has seen some days, your mercy still brand new.
You're always seeing me through. Get you in.